everyone. Welcome to She Hall, the Women of Country Music, a podcast dedicated to providing women in the country music industry with space to talk about their journey and the obstacles they've faced. Our goal is to raise awareness on the topic of gender equality in country music through discussion and community building. I'm your host, Cassandra, and today I'm joined by Lydia Dahl. Lydia, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
We are so excited to have you and for our first episode too. This is so exciting.
I'm excited. I'm honored to be the first episode.
Lydia, we're going to kick things off today by having you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what it is you do and why we have you here.
Amazing. Yeah, for sure. So I am a songwriter. I live in Nashville, Tennessee. I've been here for about 12 years, and I've been writing full time with various artists for about 7 years. So every day I'm in the room with different up and coming artists, some artists that have record labels, some people that are just starting out, writing different songs in different genres and just kind of helping, you know, bring their vision and their story to life.
So that means you have met a lot of people through your time in Nashville already.
Oh, so many, so many. I was actually just talking about that today with another writer friend about just how many people we know and then still feeling like we don't know anybody. Like there's so many people here that even when you think you've met everyone and you know everyone, there's still people that you don't know or have never met. It's crazy, but I am fortunate enough to know a lot of really, really talented people here.
It's really funny to hear you say that because as someone who works in the music industry, but remotely, so I'm here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, it's funny because you always hear the music industry is so small, especially country music, and I've already made so many connections and everyone knows everyone. So it's funny to hear you say that there are people you don't know.
I know. Well, there's so many different, like, I feel like it's just like in high school when, not like in a bad way, but just there's different groups of people who like hang out with each other. And like when you go to a big high school, you just don't know everybody. You don't have time to like develop all those connections with everybody. So you might like know of someone, but you don't like know them, you know, but it is a very small like industry. It definitely feels, I think it's what gives Nashville its like small town feeling, even though it's a big city.
Absolutely. I would agree. It's even the few times I've been to Nashville and I visited, I've run into people who I know who live in even other places. They're there visiting as well. And it's really funny when you run into them. And I know last year I ran into a friend at CMA Fest. You're amongst thousands of people and still manage to run into somebody you know. And it's a pretty crazy experience.
I love that. That's one of the things I love so much about events like CMA Fest is that it brings so many different people from all over the place, like from all over the country, from all over the world to Nashville, and the amount of people that you can connect with or run into. And like even being here on a daily basis, sometimes I'll like go out, you know, on a Saturday night to meet friends and I will see people from my hometown that came to Nashville for like a bachelorette party or a birthday weekend or just, you know, whatever to have fun. And it's been crazy because I've been here for so long. When I moved here in 2011, I moved for college and this city was a very different place than it is now. The amount of growth that Nashville has experienced over the last 12 years is absolutely insane. And it's been really exciting to see it boom into something so cool.
So Lydia, how did you get into songwriting? I personally know a little bit about your story. We've talked in the past, and I know you've been songwriting for a while, but how did you get started and how did that end up bringing you to Nashville for college?
I think I got started like most other songwriters probably got started. I grew up around so much music. My whole life has been music. I started when I was young in dance, and then dance led to musicals, and musicals led to piano lessons, and piano lessons led to voice lessons. And then when I was in, oh gosh, I can't even remember, but sometime in grade school is when Taylor Swift came out, and like falling in love with her music and realizing that she was writing all of her own music, I was like, wow, like I could write my own music and sing it. And then, you know, you're going through, you know, high school and you have all these feelings and you're just trying to process them. And that was my outlet. That was the way for me to process my feelings and get things out or say things that maybe I was too scared to say. And I fell in love with it once I started to do it. And then I just kind of knew, like, this is what I wanted to do. This is what I wanted to pursue. And I found Belmont because they have a songwriting major there. So applied to Belmont. It was the only school I looked at. It was the only school I applied to, got in there. I actually didn't get into the songwriting program. But that school has so many amazing majors and connections to offer. So I, you know, went anyway, but yeah, I think I've kind of got into it like every other songwriter does, just because it's how you get your feelings out. It's how you process your feelings, you know?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I'm wondering, did you share your songs whenever you first started writing? Were you sharing those with people, or was it kind of a personal thing? Because I know a lot of people keep them to themselves.
I definitely was sharing mine. I have always been kind of a little performer, even though I don't do as much of it now. I was in musicals and like performing recitals and stuff all at my entire childhood. So I've always been kind of a performer. And when I started writing songs, I think probably like one of my childhood friends, Brianna, was probably one of the first people I ever showed my songs to. One of my other really good childhood friends still has a really horrible recording of me that I burned on a CD. I think I made it on GarageBand, and gave to her. It's songs that I wrote by myself, in high school or grade school, like not good, should never see the light of day kind of stuff. But I was definitely sharing it with my friends. And then it kind of got to the point where my parents were seeing me do this and get really dedicated to it and really into it. And I actually recorded 2 EPs and an album that you can't find anywhere now. But I recorded 2 EPs and an album and put those out in high school and college. And then shortly after college is when I put my album out. So yeah, I was definitely sharing them for everybody.
That's awesome. And of course, you know, since we are titled She-Ha and we're all about the women, I think it's great that you had those friends growing up who you could show those songs to and who were supportive, because I know not a lot of girls growing up have that support system. I was lucky enough. I had the same thing, but not everybody does. So I'm so glad to hear that you had that experience.
Absolutely. And it wasn't always that way. I think, you know, grade school in particular, like middle school is really hard time to be a girl. Like, it's everybody's figuring things out and you just start to like boys. And so that's a whole new factor and your body is changing. And I didn't always have a great group of friends, but actually doing community theater is where I made some of my best friends. Cause just most of the time, everybody who does community theater is a little weird. So they all kind of like get what it's like to be like the weird kid or the outcast kid. And you just bond over that. And then you're weird together. And I was really lucky to have that and have those friends who were already musical. So I could show them my music and it wasn't like something weird that I was doing.
Yeah, friend groups change a lot through school. And I know that was something that was hard for me in finding my place as well. And for me, funny enough, I ended up in the art club. And that was kind of where I met my core group and my best friend from art club. I'm still friends with her. And she now since has a husband and children. And it's weird, but you meet those people through those activities. And they kind of stick with you, because even if it's something, you know, I went from art to music, but those people stick with you because they understand what it's like to be in your shoes, and they make being an outcast normal in a way.
Oh yeah. I have always said, like, even being, bringing it all the way back to Nashville, like having a group of friends here, having that support system here is so incredibly vital to being successful here, not only for networking purposes, but I think so much of chasing a music career is mental. It is mental strength, and it is, you know, continuing to put yourself out there when doors get slammed in your face, or when you have bad days, or you're going through a lull of creativity. and without like my strong group of friends. And some of those people are people I've known since high school that have either followed me to Nashville or I still keep up with them. And some of them are people that I met here. Like a good group of friends is vital to success, I think, in life, but especially in like any sort of creative career.
Louder. Okay, it is definitely my internet.
That's the worst when your internet just doesn't want to cooperate with you.
Yes, it just totally crashed on me. I have no idea. Okay, so I'm gonna try this. I'm going to just do audio only. I'll just shut my camera off. And
okay,
hopefully that fixes things.
Okay.
After all, the audio is the most important thing.
For sure.
Okay.
You know, our faces aren't that important. Meh.
As long as I get like a screenshot of us at the end or something, that's like all that matters. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I was saying, so we're just gonna roll.
I love it. We'll just roll on to the next thing.
Okay. All right, Lydia. So we're talking about groups of people, and I have to bring up a group that caused me to meet you last year in Nashville, which is Song Suffragettes, which is a phenomenal all-female writers round. And I know you've been with them for a little while, and I was hoping you could talk about your experience and maybe what it means to you to be part of that group.
Absolutely. I'm so proud to be a part of that group of women. I earlier in my writing journey, so I've been writing full time since 2017. And that's really when I started to go out and go to writers' rounds and try to make connections. And Song Suffragettes was one of the like vital rounds I would go to pretty much every week. So I feel like I really was developing as a writer while going to these shows and really looked up to a lot of the girls that were playing these shows and wanted to play for a very long time. So being invited to play with them is so amazing and so special. And all of the girls that are a part of Song Suffragettes are so talented. Like they're so talented and they're all so nice and so welcoming, and they just want to help you in any way that you can. And it's been really great and wonderful, kind of going back to what you were saying and what we were talking about with the support systems. It's become another really great support system and resource for me. So yeah, it's been fantastic. And even having that, I just got my first opportunity to host the Song Suffragettes round and getting to talk about like how it was founded and why it was founded for to call attention to the females in the music industry. Just like, you know, this podcast, because females can be super underrepresented in the music industry and especially in country music. And I think it's amazing that they have, been going as long as they have for that, specific reason.
I agree. I stumbled upon Song Suffragettes during some of my research during college. And I don't even remember at what point I found the group, but I just started following them on Facebook and then eventually on Instagram. And when I finally came down to Nashville in 2022, I said, I have to make it a point to go. And I wasn't really sure what I would be walking into in terms of an audience, just because there is so much turmoil some days in the music industry regarding things of that nature. And I walked in there and it was a full house. It was sold out that day. And I was just in glory. I was so happy. I went down, sat in the front row at my table with my hot wings. And it was a blast. And I cannot wait to go back. And it was amazing. I spoke to some other songwriters who were there the night I was, along with you, of course. And everyone was so kind and so open to these discussions. And I really appreciated that because, you know, after all, I'm still a student myself. I'm finishing my master's program. And just being able to get advice from everyone meant a lot in itself.
Yeah, that's the really great thing about not only about Song Suffragettes, but I think about Nashville in general. Everybody really does just want to help you, because we've all been through the struggles, and we're all in this, you know, crazy on this crazy ride together. And people are always willing to offer advice, or, you know, a shoulder just to listen to, or everybody is happy to make another connection. It is really great. And Song Suffragettes, especially if you are looking for more of that, like, female women community, like, that is a great place to start, because everybody there, like you said, is just so incredibly welcoming.
If you don't mind my asking, how did you get involved with the group? Is there, you know, is it an induction process, or is it just kind of who you know?
I think it's a little bit of both. So they actually have an application on their website where you can go, and I think it's a video that you submit, maybe one or two songs, and you submit a little bit of information about yourself, and they constantly have people going through those applications to, you know, find new female talent that they can help spread the word about. For me, it was a little different. I went to a Song Suffragettes round to watch my roommate, best friend, co-writer Morgan Johnston play, and there were a couple other girls that were playing that had played songs I'd written, and they just continued to call me out throughout the round and point me out. And so at the end of the round, Maddie, who works for Song Suffragettes, came over and was so sweet and so nice, and, you know, was just like, "We love you. We hear your name on the stage all the time. Like, we would love to have you come in and audition for us and, you know, maybe play Song Suffragettes." So that was amazing. Great night. It was something that I'd wanted for a while. So yeah, I went in and did the audition, and the audition is very chill. It is Maddie and Todd Casty, who is the founder of Song Suffragettes. You just sit down with them, you have a conversation, you play a song or two. It's very cool, very nice. So that's kind of how I got involved with the group. And yeah, like I said, I'm just really happy to be a part of it.
It's nice to hear two things coming from that comment, Lydia. One, of course, women supporting women and your friends, you know, shouting you out and leading to an opportunity for you, but also a chill environment, because I feel like a lot of people only think of the music industry these days as, you know, sitting in one of the big conference rooms at a huge label and, you know, people in their suits staring you down the table. And in reality, it's not always that. I mean, it is in certain situations, but not everything is stuffy and hardcore.
For sure. It definitely has its stuffy and, like, very serious moments. But I would say most of the music industry that I've experienced is far more casual than people think. Like, even just down to the writing process, you know, most of the time, we're writing songs in, you know, living rooms, bedrooms, wherever we can be. And sometimes they're at publishing houses, but oftentimes writing rooms at publishing houses look like a living room. It's just a couch and chairs and some guitars, maybe a piano. Like, it is all very casual and, like, comfy for the most part. Like I said, there are more, like, you know, boardroom style meetings that happen that, you know, are way more serious, but most of the industry, from my experience, is just a lot more, like, casual, chill, very, you know, welcoming, collaborative, very, very cool.
You mentioned welcoming, and that's something that I want to talk about, because I perused through your website a little bit and I found an interesting phrase where you mentioned that songwriting for you means inclusivity. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that and expand upon that idea and what it means to you.
For me, I think it means a couple things. I think when I talk about, like, songwriting, I'm also talking about music a lot of the time for me, because it's the same thing to me. And when I started writing songs and sharing my songs, and even still now, it makes me feel not alone, you know, like that. I think that's kind of what I meant about part of what I meant about inclusivity, is that we're all going through the same things. We are all feeling heartbroken. We are all feeling lost. We are all feeling happy. We're all feeling in love. Like, we have so much more in common as a people than we don't have in common. And I think that's one of the main things I love about songwriting, is just going into a room with someone and realizing, like, like, again, bringing up my roommate Morgan Johnston, she put out the first song she put out was a song called Good Guy. And it was my first session with her and our other friend Ian McConnell. And we walked in, and I was like, I have this title. It's called Good Guy. You know, like when you're going through a breakup or you're in a relationship that maybe isn't the best, and you're like, yeah, but he's a good guy. And Morgan was like, oh my God, I have basically the same thing written down to write about because she and I had gone through very similar relationships. And I think that, so that's part of what I mean by inclusivity. And then I think the other part of it is, in the writing room, I mean, I just think songwriting is so collaborative and should just include as many perspectives as it can. Because I just think everybody has such a unique story to tell and a different perspective to tell, that it's important to include all of those in the music that we're creating so we can reach as many people as possible.
Thank you for that. I love that. And you talking about including other folks in the writing room, it makes me think of, I've looked up some song credits for some songs I've been listening to. And I will admit, I've been really big on the, you know, women of country, murder country scene lately. Those have been, that's been my
Good
really
stuff.
big, you know, niche style lately. But it's funny because you pull up some of these lyrics and you're expecting them to have been written by all women. And because, you know, they're out here dissing on the men. And you pull up the credits and there are men listed on the credits. And it really gets me a good laugh, but it makes me feel good at the same time because it makes you realize that, you know, they can experience the same thing, even if it's in a little bit of a different way. They get it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They get it. And like, you know, I have guys that I write with here that I absolutely love that will write those like kind of more like, you know, I don't know, like man, I don't want to say man hating, but like, you know, those like breakup songs, those like mean kind of just when you're hurt and you're angry, they will absolutely get on that train with you and write that with you because A, they've been there, but on the other side of it, or B, like they empathize, they sympathize. Usually I'm in a writing room with people that I'm friends with, and they're just as mad about me being hurt or the artist being hurt as the artist is about being hurt. So it's, yeah, it's funny how like you think, oh, like this song is probably written by all girls because it's they're like murdering a man in it. And then you pull it up and it's like a girl and two guys, and they're like, nah, like we're fine with that too.
Yeah, it's totally great, and it's really a moment, and that's another great thing, and why I always encourage people to do the research on the songs that they enjoy because it helps you to get to know people behind it, and you made a point of not being alone in what you're going through, and I think by looking at those credits, it really helps to emphasize that because you're seeing the people and not just the music that's in front of you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think the other cool thing about like getting to know the songwriters that write the songs you love is that you can probably go and find other songs that you love. Because if you like dive into those songwriters and their credits, usually if you like, you know, you keep finding yourself liking this certain style of music, like I'm a big old Dominion fan, and Kelsea Ballerini has this song called I Hate Love Songs. And the minute I heard it, I was like, oh my gosh, I love this song. Why do I love this song? Well, that song was written by members of Old Dominion. And it's funny how that you can find those like those common ties throughout music, and it can kind of lead you to other music that you're gonna fall in love with because they have these songwriters that are a part of so many different things. I think, yeah, finding the songwriters of the song, I mean, I'm biased because I'm a songwriter, but it's another cool level if you are a music lover.
I absolutely agree. All right, Lydia. Well, we are wrapping up, and I have one final question for you. And since you are a songwriter, this one is especially for you. If you were to write a female empowerment song for other women out there, what would you say?
Oh Lord. I think I mean I've written some female empowerment songs, and I think the common thing that's always through it is like you can absolutely do it. Like, you, whatever you are trying to do, you can absolutely do it. And there are always going to be people that tell you no and tell you because you're a girl, you're not good enough, or because you're a female, you have too many things on your plate and you can't be a mom and you can't be a successful person in business. And you can't have it all. And I just think you absolutely can. You absolutely can. And you have such a big community of people around you that are going through the same thing. And being a woman is an amazingly beautiful, wonderful, special thing to just lean into that. And, you know, that's kind of where your power comes from. Lean into that power and just whatever you set your mind to, just keep going towards it. Cause women are incredibly determined beings, and you will absolutely get where you're going.
I couldn't say it better myself. And if I do say so, I think I needed that encouragement way back when, but I know there's someone out there today who's going to appreciate that. So thank you for that, Lydia. And thank you so much for joining us here today on She-Haw.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for reaching out and connecting. I can't wait to see you when you're back for CMA Fest.
Huge shout out once again to Lydia Dahl for joining us here today on She-Haw. Next time you're in Nashville, be sure to go find Lydia at a songwriter's round. Definitely check out Song Suffragettes because you will not regret it, I promise. And while you're at it, why don't you go check out our social media pages. You can find us at She-Haw Country. And of course, stay on the lookout for future episodes. And remember, it's She-Haw because women make the world turn.
My horse, I'm speaking my mind. I run barefoot in the yard.